Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Ready Player 2, episode 86. This is the fourth time I've introduced the episode now. This has been a bit of a runaway freight train already. Everything's gone a little bit wrong. We've got a roughly 14 minutes to record this episode in before Ross has got to dive headfirst out of the window to go get his child. So we're going to talk as quick as we can about games that we played. Specifically, one game that nobody saw coming, everybody has now played, and for some bizarre, odd, weird reason, we have actually all played together. But as fate would have it, not only has somebody managed to bring out a game that somehow we're all able to play together, they've managed to bring out that game with only a three-person team in it, which feels like it was targeted specifically to screw us over. We've all played Apex Legends now, right?
Yeah.
Why are you asking? You've played with us all.
This is for the audience. This is for the wider people who haven't... Oh, by the way, I'm Rich.
You're white people.
This is Ready Player 2. And with me today, I have Mr. Ross Fabelbag.
Hello.
Mr. Lewis Knight.
Hello.
Mr. Lee Hodgelodge.
This is going well, isn't it?
It's going fantastic.
Can I just say, I want to point out, is this the first time? This is the first time a podcast has been recorded. I'm not going to say during the day. Sober.
You wouldn't know it, would you?
No, that's not true. I have accidentally done podcasts. So
no, I meant all of us.
Accidentally.
All right. Well, there was the time I was driving. Which I'd just like to point out that carpool podcast.
And how does that have a bearing on it?
No, right, look, for legal reasons, I was definitely sober when we did that.
Okay.
Also, that's a wild assumption that we're all sober.
Yeah, true, yeah, sorry.
I'm on holiday from work, Lee.
Oh, sorry, I'll take it back.
Anything could be going on. He's going to be turning up to pick up his kid and he'll be wobbling all over the playground.
Sorry, anyway, not him again. We're in a hurry.
Sorry, we're talking about games. Are you all right? Are you quite done?
Yeah, carry on.
Fucking rocks up out of nowhere and starts derailing me, and I've only been set off. Right.
It's my job in life.
We've got some other games to talk about, but first, we have to talk about the weird curveball that is Apex Legends. So, there's a few games that everybody's been waiting for this year. There's some big games already come out. Some big games came out over Christmas and just after. And there's some big games coming up. So, Anthem, the beta for Anthem has just been finished, and a load of people were meh about that. I don't think I've seen anybody that's gone, oh my god, this game is going to blow my balls off when it comes out, because it's just basically Destiny with flying.
Yeah.
But then Apex Legends came out, and somebody mentioned it to me. I was like, oh, is this a beta? And they're like, no, it's out. I'm like, is it? I've never heard of it. They said, neither have I. Really?
Well, yeah. When it came out, I was like, oh, I wonder when this is due out. And it was like, download now. And I was like, but what? Oh, it must just be like a PC beta.
Yeah.
And then I had a look on my Xbox and was like, oh, I can download it now. Okay.
It's everywhere.
It's all over the
God muffin place. Is it on PlayStation as well?
Yeah.
It is.
What? Not Switch, though?
No.
Nah.
It even works on my PC. Imagine that.
That's works on your PC.
Quite impressive,
This has been very confusing. So Ross has been playing... All right, there has been a little bit of minor explosion. We had some crashes while we were playing it before.
Yeah.
But you've got an onboard graphics card, and you've been playing it with us fine, right?
Yeah. I mean, everything's on medium, but it still looks fine.
Medium's not bad.
Lewis has been playing it...
No,
yeah,
exactly.
It's not too bad. Lewis has been playing it on his Shadow.
Yep.
And that's been working pretty well, right?
Yeah, definitely. The only drawback has been my network connection.
Which you're sorting out at the moment?
Yeah, which I'm sorting out at the moment. As an aside, set up a custom controller pack, controller scheme in Skype, not Skype, Steam.
Yeah.
For Minecraft.
Right.
So I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. But I didn't realise that if Steam is running in the background, that controller pack, controller scheme still runs.
It still counts as keyboard presses.
Even though it's an Origin game.
Even though it's an Origin game.
Wow.
Really?
That's quite impressive, actually.
So
Yeah, but the thing is, it supports pads natively.
Yeah. So I was trying to, like, I was going through the tutorial in Apex, and I was like, what? Where the fuck is this keyboard coming from? What is this on-screen keyboard? And I was like, this looks like a Steam thing, but I can't work out why it's working. So I just closed Steam and then went back into the game, and it worked fine. So
Goes. That'd be handy if you find a game that you need that one to use that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Minecraft.
Well, you could do like Minecraft and stuff like that. Yeah, like Minecraft.
Which is what I put it on there for.
Yeah.
So, for those people that don't know, and you are likely to not care, I've got to be perfectly honest, Apex Legends is another, I don't want to say PUBG style, but it's a Battle Royale style game, but it's different. And everyone that comes out says, oh, we're different, but they're fucking basically not. It's a Battle Royale style game.
Yeah.
In which, like, a number of people in some configuration of team shapes gets dropped onto a map, and they all have to vigorously pummel each other until most of them are dead. And then the people that aren't dead go, woohoo, I didn't die, and then they do the whole thing all over again. And you basically don't get anything out of it apart from a deep sense of satisfaction or an existential feeling of dread and suffering. Mm. That's pretty much what we've been going through so far. The major players in this arena so far pretty much have been Fortnite. If you haven't heard of Fortnite, this is the wrong podcast for you.
How have you found it?
To be fair, I don't think we've ever actually mentioned Fortnite.
I think we have mentioned Fortnite before, other than our disdain for it. Yeah, it exists. And then, so there's Fortnite, there's PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Fortnite is a bit of a cartoony shooter. It is less of a shooter, or less of a Twitch shooter than it is of a Twitch builder.
Yeah.
There are people in that game that can build a 14-story apartment complex in around about the time it takes me to build a shonky shed. And that's the problem that I have playing that game. And they're doing it with pads, so these people are fucking quick. It's ridiculous. Then you've got PUBG, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which is more of a kind of military simulator shooter. Mm-hmm. That game is essentially run around the map for around about 20 to 25 minutes and then die for no reason that you can possibly discern.
Yeah, so
I'm pretty confident that I've dropped of cardiac arrest in that game at least 12 times.
PUBG kind of reminds me of Armour.
It is. It's exactly that kind of thing. It's got a DayZ feel about it.
Yeah.
It's probably because it's got a shocking engine, and that's it.
It looks
got
pretty
that
similar.
Kind of really, yeah. It's kind of pseudo human look about it.
Epic, isn't it?
So then there's also, what else is? It's not Epic.
No, Epic license. It's Unreal Engine.
Yeah, it's Unreal Engine. Yeah.
Realm Royale is another.
We had a great time on Realm Royale, and that's out on a couple of different platforms as well. Now, I don't think that's doing necessarily as well as some of the others, but it did pick up some traction. There was one a long time ago, and if you remember this, then well done. One of the OG Battle Royale games was a game called The Culling. It was much smaller than games like PlayerUnknown Battleground or Fortnite. The map was much, much smaller, but it was more of a pure Battle Royale game. And it had crafting it and all kinds of stuff, and it was fantastic until they utterly fucked it up. Then they utterly busted it even further by making a second game that nobody wanted or asked for that was so bad that they trashed it after 1 week of it being released.
Wow.
So it doesn't exist anymore, and they've gone back to recreating the first game from scratch, which was initially met by acclaim and fantastic, and actually now everybody's just kind of going, you know what, we were kind of done with this game 3 years ago. So now Apex Legends has shot out of the woodwork. Nobody really saw it coming. It kind of turned up and went, hi, here I'm here. I'm from the same publisher that is about to bring out this other game that we want you to be excited about. So we've downplayed this release and kind of gone, do you know what, we're just going to shuffle this out and then hopefully people will still be excited about Anthem.
Yeah.
And then 25 million people went, nope. Nope, don't give a shit anymore.
So what we haven't mentioned is this is from the team behind the Titanfall games, Respawn.
Yes. Yeah. And it's using a Titanfall 2 engine.
It's set in the Titanfall universe, I've just read.
It is. Yes, it
30
is.
Years
actually
after
true?
The events of Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
And I've... So I've read that apparently they tested in earlier builds of this game, they actually had Titans in the game.
Yeah.
And they had wall running in the game.
Titans,
and they had a lot of the mechanics.
Running, double jumps.
Yeah.
There's a little bit
and
of wall
running.
And
you know what? Well, there is some of that. There's a little bit of kind of running up a wall to grab onto a ledge or something, but it's quite minimal. But I've got to be honest, the studio that can go, right, this is what we're doing. This is the game we've made before. We're keeping it in the same universe. We're using the same engine. We are, we're going to put in wall running. We're going to put in Titans. And for them to sit back and go, do you know what? No.
Yeah, because wall running and double jumping and all that sort of stuff would have broken the game in terms of a battle royale.
There's no way I would have been able to aim
it. No, it would have been chaos.
The reason that I went off Fortnite is I cannot keep up with the building.
Yes,
the running and gunning I'm fine with.
Anything requires vertical shooting and up and down, it's too tricky, especially if you're moving side to side at the same time.
Anything that requires...
And the speed at which people build, they not just build, but they put doors in the buildings and shit as well. And move through them like a multi-story complex. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I have to admit, I was a bit concerned when I first saw... I was reading about Apex, and they were like, oh, yeah, you know, we first tried it with Titans and double jumps and wall running, and that it just didn't work in the gameplay, so we took it out. And I was like, so you've taken all the good bits of Titanfall 2 and taken
yeah,
them
and got rid
out.
Of them.
There's a worry.
But fair play to them. Frankly, I don't think it would have worked with it.
No.
No. But they still have some of those kind of elements. So, like, with... I can't remember what her name is. The support character with the supply drops.
The one you use.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Medic person. Yeah. Medic. Healy wench.
The character still... you play all the time.
Yeah.
I can't remember what she's called. Healy woman.
Healy woman.
Lifeline.
They still Lifeline, have the kind of verticality with whatever the robot's called with the zip line.
Yeah.
And they have zip lines in like just around in the game. Mm. So.
Yep. Yep.
They still have those kind of hints of those elements, but they've kind of made it make sense in the context of the game.
And the other thing that they put in that actually makes an awfully big difference when you get used to doing it is sliding.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're sprinting along and you hit slide, if you do this at the right moment, if you then jump off like a ledge and then hit duck again off the other ledge, you can kind of skim yourself like a stone across areas. Yeah. And you can use it to kind of go up ramps, almost like you were on skates or something, up a half pipe, and then land on a roof that you weren't expecting to be able to get to. It's very good. The mechanics of the game. And the biggest thing that I've got with this whole thing is... it fucking works.
The shooting is superb as well.
But it's like, we've had a couple of crashes, right? And the biggest problem we've had really is OBS. So trying to stream this has been a bit of a challenge, which we'll go into
not
a little bit. Not too much. But it's not really the game's fault. But realistically, I've had very little problems with this game. Mm. Not the kind of weird popping and texture issues and dropping out and... falling through the world and all of the kind of bugs that you'd associate with a game that's brand new.
Fallout 76.
Are we attacking Bethesda already?
Sorry, that was indirect. If it sounds like we're bashing Bethesda, it is purely incidental to the conversation. But they shouldn't be so shit that any bashing directly applies to them by accident.
Yeah, they shouldn't be the go-to.
Yeah. Right, look. Initial impressions. God, I really like this. It's like Fortnite without the really annoying building and the and Overwatch built into it, because all of the characters have got their own classes. So whereas in Fortnite and PUBG, you're just a person. You are pleb number B that's plonked into a map, and you've got no special abilities. And then the only thing that you get is whatever you pick up. Whereas in this, like Overwatch... You have like special abilities and powers.
I think,
and it makes everybody different. Sorry, carry on.
I think what they've done, it looks pretty obvious to me. If someone sat down and said, like, there's all these esports titles out there. There's Overwatch, there's PUBG, there's Fortnite. They've gone through them and said, what do we like out of all these? What do we not like?
Yeah.
And have put together a game from that list.
Yeah.
Mm. It feels like that.
And why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Why the hell not? And this must have been in progress for a long time. This isn't something that's just popped up out of nowhere. No. Somebody didn't just go, do you know what? Let's whip together a little old Battle Royale game. This has got to be a couple of years worth of work, right?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Well, I said they were developing Titanfall 3 and then saw how good PUBG... It's around 2017. They saw how PUBG was going and how big Fortnite's got and thought, fuck it, let's change direction completely and go with this.
There's a bandwagon I want to be on.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I like
as
that.
Well.
There's a lot of money falling off that bandwagon.
Yeah.
I would like to be on that. And then, as it turned out, for ages and ages and ages, I've been saying, people are playing Fortnite because it is just the game to play. Mm. It's the game to stream. It's the game to play. It's the game that everybody's watching. But really, frankly, it's just not that good a game.
Mm.
It's okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing it. It's fine. And if
it's
you
not,
enjoy it, then
garbage.
That's great. Well, it's if you enjoy it,
it's
if you enjoy
garbage,
anything, if you enjoy and if you enjoy playing Barbie's Dreamhouse Paradise, or like, I don't know those, that's a real game. But if you enjoy playing that, then that's great. Enjoy it. Have a great time. I don't want to watch you stream it, and I don't want to play it myself. Same with Fortnite. But it turns out that roughly 25 million other people were in the same mindset as me, because they must have been itching for another game. And PUBG and Fortnite are so far away from each other that the two kind of groups almost hate each other a little bit.
Yeah.
And now suddenly everybody's been siphoned from both of them and
this is
Overwatch.
So this is kind of the middle of the Venn diagram.
They've somehow managed to situate themselves directly in the middle of PUBG and Fortnite and Overwatch and just suck all of the players that are kind of disenfranchised with all of those into a game engine that works beautifully on most of the hardware that you manage to play it on. Ross's onboard graphics card is evidence of that.
Yeah.
And everybody, no, it doesn't have cross-platform play, but they've said that they're going to put it, or they're working on putting it in. So hopefully soon it's going to have cross-platform play.
Amazing.
What shape that's going to take, I don't know, because it is a first-person Twitch shooter, and there's always been a lot of kind of, keyboard and mouse people versus pad people. But you've been playing on a pad with keyboard and mouse people, Lewis and Ross, haven't you? And
yeah.
Have you found it, you know, I mean, there's always going to be people better than you in almost any game. That's not directed at you. I'm talking about generally.
I was
gonna there's
say,
always
going to
be people.
Like a personal
no, it wasn't a personal dig. There's always going to be people better than anybody when you're playing a game. Yeah, you're never the best person in the game. But do you feel like you're hamstrung because of the pad?
No.
Not
people
really.
On Xbox are kicking my ass. So it doesn't matter if I'm on Xbox or on PC.
Yeah, the only issue that I have is the, which I mentioned to you guys, is the sensitivity.
Yeah.
The pad feels a bit sluggish, but I've had a fiddle about with the settings, and it feels, with the sensitivity turned up a bit, it feels a bit better. So
I think automatically it's a bit slow to whip around the place, but apart from that, you can change that and it's fine. This, to me, feels the most like Bulletstorm that any game has since that came out.
Oh, do you know what? That's actually a really good reference.
Ooh.
I hadn't thought of it like that.
I love
think of that, actually, that. This game in that kind of world, they kind of fit together perfectly.
Yeah.
That is a really good reference, actually, because graphically it's very similar too, but the sliding. It's the sliding that makes it very similar as well. Oh, give me a leash in this game. That'd be amazing.
Well, you did something last night on stream that reminded me of it so much that you slid into a fight which Lee and Lewis were in, and you just punched someone square in the face, and then you just dived out of there really fast. It's like, wow, that's a lot more than Bulletstorm.
So it's really good fun. It does feel like that as well. And the Twitch turning and the Twitch attacking, all the rest of it, it just feels right. Mm. There must be latency. There must be latency going on. But it doesn't feel like there is.
Yeah.
One massive thing that they've done with this as well, there is, crucially, this is really important as far as I'm concerned, there is heavy bullet lead and bullet drop on sniping. Now, this is on every weapon this affects, but sniping specifically. You can get nailed from a million miles away by a sniper rifle, but the chances of it happening are very slim. With the movement, with the kind of general pacing of this game, the direction that the person with the sniper rifle is moving at the time affects the bullet's trajectory, as well as bullet drop and how fast you're moving at the same time. Sniper rifles are great, but over middle distance, as soon as you get too much further than that, they become much, much less effective.
Yeah.
And that was a huge problem with PUBG. PUBG, you would just get dropped on a dime by somebody with a sniper rifle. And Fortnite kind of forced you to stand still. The entire shtick with Fortnite is you built a tower, and you just kind of stayed in it and moved around in it, and there was movement going on, but it's in a location. This feels way freer. The terrain has got a lot of verticality to it. It's not just a flat open area. There is loads of up and down and buildings and zip lines and all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
So, speaking about that, I didn't realise that there is only one map.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah,
just
exactly,
the one.
They're so big as well.
It's fucking enormous, and it just, I don't know, it's so varied. Like, you've got a shanty town type area, you've got a little village, you've got a industrial kind of complex, you've got like a mountain range.
Thunderdome.
Yeah, there's so much stuff in one world. It's really, really, really fun to play. You don't ever feel like, oh, I'm bored of this. Like, I've been here before. I'm bored of this bit now.
Yeah, and not only that, but, like, you don't even notice when you're transitioning into different into a different area. You're like, one minute you're in a shanty town, and then the next minute you're in a, like, an industrial military zone or whatever. And you're like, oh, okay.
It doesn't feel like there are reused textures.
No.
That's a key thing. Yeah. So it feels like you're going from a very deserty shanty towny area, and then suddenly there'll be light patches of scrub. And then there'll be patches of grass, and then maybe some mud, and then there'll be grass.
Mm.
And so it bleeds into each other really nicely, rather than being quite abrupt. It's just good. It's just good. The design of it, everything's really good.
My favourite thing about it is the loadout system. I just think the way they've put this together, because the mechanics of some other games, especially something like PUBG, where you have to actually take the time to put things together.
It takes forever to do stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, it burns my ass. I can't be arsed. I just want to pick up a gun and shoot someone in the face with it. And this one, you just can go around picking up everything and not worry about it. And then when you're full, just drop stuff that you can't use.
It auto attaches your attachments.
Yeah. Just put some all together.
The auto attaching, and it's not always perfect. Sometimes you need to move things around. Yeah. But in the main, it's absolutely great. Yeah. It always pissed me off because the mobile version of PUBG did this. In the mobile version of PUBG, when you pick shit up, it automatically attaches it to a weapon if you've got a weapon that can have it.
Mm.
But the main version of PUBG doesn't do it and has never done it. And they've said that they won't do it. And I just, why? Why would you? Why?
Yeah.
You're just making my fucking life awkward for no decent reason. The other thing that I really like about this as well is when you open the menu, any menu that you open in this game, whether it's your inventory or whether it's the kind of quick selection wheel or whatever it happens to be, you can still move.
Yes.
And all of the movement options still work. So you can still jump, you can still slide, you can still turn. Everything that you want to do, you can still do. Obviously, with the exception of the mouse, if you're using the wheel to select things or the inventory to select things, but you don't have to stop.
Mm.
You can keep going.
Yeah, you never become a target.
Oh, and the other thing is doors. I love the doors in this. I love the way they get the fuck out of the way.
Yep.
Just reading about the sales of it. Obviously, 25 million players in a week and a half is incredible. The 2 days before this was released, EA's quarterly financial results come out and their stock dropped 13%. In the week since then, it's had its biggest growth since 2014 because on the back of Apex Legends.
Fucking insane.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things about that. I did see one article basically saying, just to compare with how Apex Legends loot crates compared to Overwatch and PUBG, we spent $100 on Apex Legends loot crates.
Right.
So you don't have to. And then in brackets, and why you shouldn't. And basically, the article culminated in essentially saying that Apex Legends crates are so overwhelmingly expensive right now compared to any other loot crate on the market that it is just not worth doing. However, a lot of people really are. And I think that's fairly normal when a brand new game comes out. But it's got...
There's no better guns or anything, is there? There's no better anything.
But that's normal. Yeah. This is what people...
They'll fleece them for now.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of it is just aesthetic.
Yeah.
I think in the 5 or 6 rounds that we played last night, I got 3 Apex crates. And everything I got was either a weapon skin, a player skin, or...
Yep, so there are only 2 things that you can get in the game that will actually affect gameplay, and those are the 2 legends that are not unlocked by default. So there are, I think, 6 legends unlocked by default. It's 6, right?
Yeah.
About 6
yeah,
legends that are unlocked by default when you first get the game, and there are 2 legends that are not unlocked. Now, a few lucky people, when they very first started playing this, if you played it really early, either on Xbox or if you bought the 99 pence Origin Basic Access on the PC, you got given 1,000 yellow coins. There are 3 different types of coins in this game, or 3 different types of currency.
Yeah.
There's yellow, orange, and craft metals. And they're all used for different things. But yellow is the most versatile, and the only way that you can get it is by buying it from the store. Orange you get from loot crates within the game, and the craft metals you get from the loot crate... Sorry, yeah, orange you get from loot crates, and the craft metals you get from loot crates as well, and you can only use those to buy certain items.
Yeah.
Everything else is cosmetic. 100% everything else in the game is cosmetic. But the thing is, as has been proven by Rainbow Six Siege, by Fortnite, by PUBG, by any number of these games, this works.
Hmm. Enough people will be paying $79.99 for the 10,000 coins that we won't ever have to pay anything, and we'll still get the same game that they get.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
It's fine by me.
Yep. I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. And you know what? In the next month, they're bringing out a Battle Pass.
Yeah.
Now, this could go either way, because they brought out a Battle Pass, and for people who don't know what this is, a Battle Pass is essentially you pay a fixed amount of money, like £5 or £7.99 or whatever it happens to be, and it puts you on like a level-up system. So the more you play the game within that season of the game, you level up for free, kind of. You get XP in the game.
Yeah.
And there'll be two tracks on the level-up bar. One will be Luddites, who haven't paid for the Battle Pass, and one will be awesome people who have paid for the Battle Pass. And you all level up at the same rate. So at level 30, Luddites will have got like 3 items, whereas people who pay for the Battle Pass will have got 30 items.
Yes.
From just leveling up. But you don't just get given all of this stuff. You have to level up and earn it, even though you spent the money on the Battle Pass. Now, this can go one or two ways, because Fortnite's Battle Pass was actually really quite satisfying, and it had loads of extra things in it, like challenges. You had to go around the map and do certain specific things that you otherwise wouldn't do, like dance in stupid locations, or climb to the top of a building, or punch somebody in the river, or whatever it happened to be, in order to unlock certain aspects of this Battle Pass. The flip side of this is Rocket League has recently brought out a Battle Pass, and it's a bag of turds. It's a big old bag of turds, and there is literally no reason that I would want to spend any money on that, even though I love Rocket League and have played it tons.
The Fortnite Battle Pack, I'm just reading about Season 3, which dropped in February 2018. In one day, they sold 5 million Battle Passes, which generated $50 million.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There you go. Battle passes work. And they work even better. Loot crates and battle passes work even better in games that are free to start with.
Yeah.
Because the player base gets so huge, and everybody's playing it, and everybody's streaming it, and everybody is streaming this game. that so many people, people see other people using items or whatever it happens to be, and they want it themselves. Yeah. And after playing it for 3 months, you think to yourself, well, $7.99 isn't anything. I didn't pay anything for this game.
Yeah, exactly.
So $7.99 is like nothing. Mm. Why wouldn't I spend that money?
They did a clever thing. They sent it out to streamers first to get the kind of the word out there a day or two before it was released, and it's obviously worked.
Mm. What were you saying, Lewis? Sorry,
I've never seen a gun skin and thought, "Oh, do you know what? I really want that." Usually, because I'm on the business end of it, I'm waiting for one of you lot to come and respawn me.
One of the reasons that battle passes are so great is because you just spend that money and then you can unlock a whole array of skins, and it's kind of a guaranteed unlock rather than a loot crate, which is you could just get a random load of bollocks.
Yeah.
You might get nothing at all. You might spend a load of money and get nothing at all. Whereas on the battle pass, you can actually see what you're going to unlock if you spend the time. And the thing that made the Fortnite battle pass so good is if you spent money on the Fortnite battle pass for one season, you earned in-game V-Bucks along the way. So if you carried on leveling up along the bar, you'd get V-Bucks. If you didn't spend those V-Bucks, which were the in-game store cash, you would have enough by the end of that season to buy your next season's battle pass with it.
Clever.
So you'd never have to spend any actual real-life money. Now, you didn't do that with the Rocket League pass, but they did with Fortnite.
That's clever.
So if they did that again, if that's something they did with this, it encourages people to keep playing and not move away from the game, so they earn enough in-game money to buy the next season's battle pass. Right, look. We've spoken about this tons and tons and tons and tons and tons and tons. There is loads more to come out from Apex Legends. They are definitely not going to be standing still. There is a couple of things that we could mention about the fact that it's a real challenge to get OBS to stream the damn thing properly. That's kind of an issue that's endemic to Windows and OBS.
I was going to say, that's nothing really to do with the game.
No, but a lot of people have been having a lot of problems with it, and that's one of the biggest problems that me and Lee had trying to stream it and trying to get on with it. But that's fine now, we've managed to get it fixed.
Well, let's stick with the game. So they've already announced that they're going to do... So at the minute, it's trios. They've also announced that they're going to do singles and duos.
Yeah.
Oh, have they?
Yes.
That's awesome. I'd like quads as well, yeah, to be honest. So I just specifically like quads.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But I would like quads a lot. I'm interested that they're doing all the other two and not quads.
I wonder if they've stuck with three for now because, you know, they were worried that they might not have a player base to support loads of different play styles.
Possibly. I can live without solo. I can't imagine myself ever wanting to play solo.
Titanfall had a really small multiplayer. It was only like six aside at its biggest games. So maybe that's kind of sticking with that, the smaller kind of...
Mm. Yeah, because this isn't 100 man either. This is 60 man.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So this is 20 teams of three player. I had to do some math in my head. This is 20 teams of three players. And it feels vast enough that the map's so big that you can spend time in an area to yourself. If you've cleared out some people from it, you can spend some time looting it around.
When we've played Fortnite and PUBG, you know, you go to an area... and you, 9 times out of 10, you pick an area, even if it's out of the way, somebody will come along. But there's been a few times in this where we've gone to an area, we've dropped and gone, well, there's no one around. And we've taken our time to get geared and felt like we're prepared for when we die.
Yeah. Because the map is big enough and it's not saturated with people.
Yeah.
Another 40 people in the game, it'd be too many.
Yeah. I think it's a similar size map, but just less people. I think it's a nice balance.
Yeah.
And also the terrain.
Yeah.
The fact that there isn't massive open areas of terrain. When you shift from one biome to another, there is at least some form of obfuscation to stop you from seeing directly into the other one. There's been going to be a tunnel, a hill you've got to go over, or whatever it is. You can tell when I'm doing a podcast and I haven't had a drink.
Yeah.
Because I can remember my longer words.
So, just kind of sticking with it... interestingly, I can't find the actual statistic for it now, but apparently Titanfall 2 multiplayer has had 100%, well, over a 100% increase in players since Apex Legends came out.
And do you know what? If they were smart, if they tied these together, if they actually started having, you know, play in this Titanfall tournament, or the Battle Pass crosses both games, or
cross-promotion,
whatever it happens to be, cross promotion between the two. You unlock something in Titanfall, you get something in this, and this could be a great bit, because nobody has managed to cross this over yet. Fortnite hasn't gone, okay, and here's another game that we've got, and we're going to cross the Battle Pass over with it. Nobody else has done that, and they've got the opportunity here to do that. They've also got the opportunity to bring Titan-esque gameplay and. Or bring out another mode where there's 30 people in a map and one Titan.
Robot, yeah, take the robot down.
And if you get to it, your team has the Titan, or whatever it happens to be. Or one person's in a Titan and everybody else is versus that person.
Yeah.
There are so many things that they could do with this
that
turns it away from the traditional Battle Royale model. But I think sticking with it for now is the best thing that they could have done, because they're helping to pull people away from those other games. If they'd have started a bit more off the wall, then they maybe wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. I tried to get a game on Titanfall 2 a few weeks back, a multiplayer, and it was fucking dead. There was no one there.
Yeah. It has been dead for a long time. They tried to push it really heavily as an esports, and it just got shunned.
It's a shame, because it's a really good game. Really,
yeah, it's a great game for us as casual players, but I think the esports community had a lot of problems with it.
Yeah.
Right, does anybody have anything else that they want to say about Apex Legends? And do we want to bother talking about any other games? Or are we happy that Apex Legends is the focal point of this episode?
Should we talk briefly about The Division 2?
Oh, yes, that would be a good idea.
Do you know what?
That is probably...
Reluctantly. Yeah, we definitely should. We definitely should talk about Division 2. All right, let's lead into it very quickly. In the last week, Division 2 had its second, I believe... closed beta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Closed or private open? Beta.
No, it was closed. Yeah. It was private beta. It was private-ish. It was one of those private parties. It was one of them frat parties, right? Where if you vaguely knew somebody who lived in the area with their brother's dog who had once walked past a house that this party was going at, then you could get into it. It was that kind of private beta.
Yeah, I asked on Twitter for a code and got three of them sent to me in that time.
Yeah, anybody who was in the private beta could send out, as far as I'm aware, infinite numbers of friend requests, friend invite codes.
Private beta, otherwise known as marketing exercise.
You could only send out three, which makes sense because there's a squad of four.
Yeah.
Well, you say that, but on the PC version, yeah, it seems to be infinite.
Oh, really?
Yep, seemed to be infinite. We could just invite everybody in the whole freaking world. Although the whole friend request system was considerably shonky. That's another thing. So anyway, they had their second of this round of private beta. And we managed to all get in on it, although we couldn't play together because some of us were on PC and some of us were on Xbox.
My PC will not run this.
We split up and Lewis and Ross and I think Chris from the Man on the Post podcast went off and you all played it on Xbox, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Me, Lee, Sam and Craig went off and we played it on PC. And you guys streamed from Xbox while we were playing on PC. So look, you want to give your opinions of the thing first. You both played the original Division, right?
Yeah. Yep.
We were spending on everything possible.
Nails.
Yeah, it's really hard, we thought. The, what they call it, stronghold bits?
Yeah.
Fuck me. Yeah, we walked into one and just got mowed down.
Those are the ones that were just out in the open, aren't they? And you've got to take them off.
Yeah, it's like a building site. We walked into it and just got immediately mowed down by some sort of Gatling gun. And we avoided that area like the fucking plague after that.
Yeah.
So missions, let's go through a couple of quick things. Graphics, missions, story, you'd be forgiven for not giving a shit about it because it was beta, and general gameplay in comparison to the first game. All of those things, what do you reckon?
So graphics, gameplay, I can't remember what the other...
Loads of things, just anything that you can think about.
Okay, so graphics and gameplay, it's basically the Division.
Yeah. Yep.
It looks a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
It has got... So they've just expanded on what they already had. So, like, instead of just, like, a turret, health pack, and whatever else, you've now got bomber drones.
Rolling grenade and stuff.
And weird grenades and all sorts of stuff like that. So, it's...
It's more of the Division, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like it could have been an expansion pack, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it could have almost been second season expansion. Mm.
Yeah. I quite like that there are a different settlements now, so you're not kind of tied to your main HQ. You can go to other settlements.
Yeah, yeah. Because there were safe houses before, weren't there? But there wasn't proper settlements.
No. Like, it's good, but... It's just kind of a bit of a ball ache. Like, at the beginning of the game, you have to go and see the quartermaster to unlock some items or whatever. And I was just like, just fucking unlock it for me. Give it to me there and then.
So let me go.
Yeah, I don't want to have to... Well, even in the main game, I don't want to have to, like, unlock a skill and then have to go back to my base to equip it.
To talk to the person, yeah.
To then go back
out. I kind of get it. It's more it's leaning into the RPG elements of the game, so it's getting you to slow down, kind of calm the pace a little bit, expand your base, talk to NPCs, because there's a lot of stuff that you can do, and we only discovered this at the back end of the beta actually, but there's a lot more to the beta that if you just run out and start shooting and doing the missions, you wouldn't even notice. Mm-hmm. So there's a PvP mode in the beta, and there's also the Dark Zone. Now, we realised that there was the Dark Zone, but we couldn't fucking work out how to get to it for the life of us until the second time we played the game. And then there's also a PvP kind of like a match-based shooter game in there as well, which you've just got to like speak to this random fella named Jeff or something who's in the White House, and he lets you go into that, but the game doesn't lead you to it.
You're
kind of expected to explore around and all the rest of it.
I did get stuck in a room at one point.
You got stuck in a room?
Yeah, quite early on. I went to the White House. I just skipped some cutscene, and then I got stuck in a room, couldn't get out of it. No door would open to let me out, and I was just stuck in there. So I had to restart.
We had a couple of bugs. We had somebody get stuck behind a door. We had I jumped onto a table and became a candelabra for about 5 minutes. I literally just vaulted up onto the table and then just froze.
Wow.
I couldn't move, I couldn't duck, I couldn't do anything. I literally had to stand there and let the enemies kill me. And because of the way the aggro system in the game works, everybody hates Lee by default. So everybody was was shooting somebody other than me.
Mm. You did die a lot.
I did die eventually. Oh, no, I died a medium amount.
You
I
died a lot.
I think it was a regular amount.
Every other word was, get me up.
That's multiple words. I had a shotgun. So...
Yeah. I use that as an excuse. I've got a stick of dynamite, so I'm going to light it.
As previously mentioned, I am neither stealthy nor tactful. Actually, I'm a little bit tactful. Well, look, so our experience of this game was slightly different on PC. Mm. Rather than challenging, I would have described the game as far too fucking good. this is not a blemish on your reputation, guys.
Lies.
I'm not 100% sure why it was the case. It could be because we played this demo, we played this beta, with the same four-person squad that we played the entire first game with, basically.
Right.
And so we were hot on it straight off. And one of the guys that we were playing with, Roy, A, was in the military, and B, likes to make sure that he brings that with him in almost every game that he plays. So he's calling out firing patterns. He's going, we've got danger close, danger forward. And then the rest of the time, he's going, Rich, why are you over there? What are you doing?
He does that in Barbie's Pony Express game as well.
Having met Roy and watched him play Pavlov, I can imagine him trying to play The Division or anything tactical with you lot is like trying to herd fucking cats.
Yeah.
He does get frustrated.
Yeah, and that's him. That is him getting very angry and very northern and trying to herd us around the entire place. But it worked beautifully. Mm. The problems that we had were because we were very well coordinated and we played a lot of games together and these kind of things, and we all fell into different roles. We had snipers, we had a guy with a shotgun, we had assault, we had all of these different people doing all these other things. It just kind of, everybody got mowed down. On the flip side of that, it made me feel like the abilities that they gave you within the beta were ultimately fucking pointless. They didn't give you a full array of abilities like you had in the first game. So many things were locked out. You couldn't use health kits. There were so many things. You pretty much only had a choice of drone,
right,
or seeker mine.
There's another one.
Turret.
Drone, seeker mine, and turret.
Oh, turret. Turret, yeah. Drone, seeker mine, and turret, right?
The turret was and pretty of fucking those, good, to be fair.
Yeah, now the turret was fantastic, right?
If you could place it
right. But of those, so... each one had a couple of different modes, right? So the drone had a passive and an active. The turret had a passive and active. And the seeker mine had a passive. Actually, both the seeker mine ones, I think, were passive. The passive ones, you just set off, and off they go. You throw the turret, and down it goes, and it starts shooting at people. Great, no problem. The turret's shooting at somebody, I'm shooting at somebody, everybody's getting shot, it's a good day. The problem is the other mode on the turret and the other mode on the drone, you have to launch it and then tell it to do stuff. Mm. So the turret, the artillery turret, for example, you put it down, and then you have to go turret, fire there, turret, fire there, turret, fire for every goddamn shot. So while you're doing that, you can't be shooting. No, it's the artillery turret.
Oh, I don't think
I think there's enough. It was a drone.
The two modes on the Xbox version were the artillery. The sniper turret and.
Yeah.
The assault turret from the first game.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I had an artillery. I don't know where I got it from.
Holy
However,
shit.
The
hello
artillery turret, you can target people with.
She's in.
Anyway. And then the sniper turret was, like you said, you have to aim it at people and get it to fire at people.
Well, the thing is, I was desperately trying to use the drone. And the drone had this like weird bombardment mode.
That's what I was trying to use.
Yeah, that's what we tried, didn't it? What a fucking waste of time that was.
Couldn't fucking work that out.
I couldn't figure out if it was double tap the little LB button, hold it down.
I didn't know what was happening. Yeah. I had no idea. Everybody else was firing hails of bullets over me. I'm sat there with a fucking Xbox pad and a quizzical look on my face, trying to work out what the hell is happening. So, yeah, I just didn't get it. So I didn't like the abilities. I didn't think that they got the balance of shooting and skills right to the point where there was nothing other than just chucking a turret down, which is kind of a, yeah, let's do it, why not? Yeah. There was none of the other abilities I could give a monkey's about.
Mm.
So chuck down a turret, all right, throw a seeker mine, fine. But the extra abilities that they've given you, the variants of those things, was just like, I don't give a shit. There's no point in being there at all.
So the, what I was going to say is, so what we played at EGX, the drone has the active. So there's an assault drone, like the assault turret.
Right.
So you can fling it up in the air, and then it just scoots it about. Goes to work. And, yeah, and start shooting at people. And you can.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
Using, and then you can use it to manually target people as well.
Yeah.
Same as with the turret. So you've basically got two. It's basically like playing with another two versions of me.
it
can shoot,
little
but
whippity
ultimately
things.
It's a bit useless.
So we played all the way through, and we find it a little bit easy. And da, 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 and we played all the way. And Lee had already done half this stuff because he'd done it the night before with Sam.
Yeah.
And we got to the end of it. And so we were all feeling pretty good. The other problem is that there are difficulty settings on the missions. But you can only pick the difficulty setting on a mission after you've completed it once. So there appears to be basically two difficulty settings, story and hard. Story is the only setting that you're given the first time you get to the mission. And it was too easy. We found it too easy.
Right.
After you've completed the mission, you could switch it to hard and play the same mission again. But we kind of wanted it on hard all the time. And then on top of that, when you're out in the world, just running around the streets and stuff, there's no difficulty setting for that. It's just always whatever the heck it is. So that was the only thing. We found it a bit, we're just kind of walking around.
I think part
then,
of that was that the areas you're in are levels. So you start off in the
yeah,
first
yeah.
area.
Yeah, so we might have been in low-level areas.
And then
yeah.
it goes 4 to 8.
So you guys may have wandered into a higher-level area, a higher-level
yeah.
bracket, and we're trying to take out that group.
We're trying to help you.
Sorry, you could have taken that.
It was, I think it was like a level 2 to 7, and I thought, well, that's quite a big fucking difference.
That's a pretty wide bracket. I think 7's the top end of the beta.
Yeah, so, well, actually, Chris that we were playing with was saying that you can actually level up and grind to level 30.
Yeah.
I don't know why the fuck you
really?
Would, because...
Christ knows.
None
it
of
doesn't
your,
carry over, does it?
Yeah, none of your experience carries over to the main game.
Well, right. Were you all the same level in your group?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah,
I
one,
think,
two.
Yeah, I finished the main part of the tutorial bit and got into the White House just as Ross was loading it, and me and Chris did a couple of missions just while
we're
we were
pretty
waiting
much the
for
same.
Ross to finish it, so yeah,
5 minutes. Right, so that was our experience with the first part of the game. Now, did you guys do the second bit? So after you've done like the main two missions that the game gives you to do and do a bit of roaming around,
No. It
then kind of goes, right, you've played a bit of the game now, and this is pretty much all we're going to give you. You can do a bit more roaming around, or here are three prefabricated endgame characters for you to go and experience the endgame.
Right.
So we went, okay, great, no problem. This sounds like a good thing to be doing. So the second day we played on the beta, we hopped into that. We each picked a different character because they've all got a different specialisation. One of them had a crossbow, one of them had like an assault rifle, and one of them was me and had a grenade launcher. Now, none of those specializations made any difference whatsoever because you were given a sum total of 2 bullets for your special weapon and you never got any more. So those 2 grenades got fired off in a happy jaunt within the first 15 seconds of loading into the game, and then I never saw the grenade launcher again. But that end game mission, it only gives you one. The end game mission that it gives you is kind of like a return mission. So you're going back to the very first mission that you played when we played the regular part of the game, and lo and behold, this area that we've taken over previously, we didn't leave anybody protecting it, and some twats have moved it. So you've got to take it again. But these twats are way stronger than the other twats that were there before. And it was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard, and it was really enjoyable. So
you
that
were just
was
whinging that the game was too easy.
No, yeah, that part, so the first part of the game was too easy.
Campaign.
An end game, when you then have a choice of difficulties, that was nice and hard. It was good, strong difficulty.
Actually, it was
almost too difficult. Sometimes.
That's no different to the first game.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's the same.
Because
you
can
change the difficulty.
So when you
in the
finish
open
the game, you can go back and play the rest of the levels
on
a harder difficulty, and everyone's a fucking like gold enemy.
Yeah, everybody's Rambo.
Everybody's
Rambo.
So I have a problem with this sort of game where, I ended up with this with the first game where I really enjoyed.
Rich?
Yeah, mostly, yeah. Where I really enjoyed playing through the levels and building my character up until we got to the end game, where you just then it gives you the same levels, the same missions again and again, but harder and then harder, and the same ones again and it's then harder. Fun, it? It's, and I just, you know, I just get bored. I want to do something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the new thing is Dark Zone. Well, not new thing, it's the old thing. It's the same thing that was in the old game, but it's a different new old thing. Okay. So, and this might have been confusing for anybody who didn't really understand, but they give you the three endgame characters, and you think, endgame, brilliant, I get to play a bit of Dark Zone because that's endgame content, and I also get to play this endgame mission stuff. So in we go, we do the endgame mission. We then spend about 20 minutes trying to work out, well, we can't leave the endgame mission area and get to the Dark Zone, because every time we try to, it murders us. Like, and that's not people shooting at us, there is a barrier that says, you can't fucking leave here, and if you try and run through it, it just teleports you to deathness. And then it turns out that you have to go back to your low level, like level 6 or 7 character. And that's the character with which you can go on to Dark Zone. It's not classed as endgame content. It's classed as whenever the fuck you want to play with it content. So we went back to our level 7 characters that we've been leveling up, and we went into the Dark Zone. And I hated the Dark Zone in the first game. I thought it was a poisonous area. Yeah. It was the gaming equivalent of the YouTube comments. It was the worst part of any game. It was toxic. People were constantly fighting each other. Even though you absolutely did not have to try and steal people's shit, it inevitably would happen.
Yeah.
And you'd just get murdered from a million miles away. Now, it's too early to tell because it was only a beta and it wouldn't be fully populated with all the people who are ultimately going to get the game. But it didn't feel like that at all. We came across loads of people. We did not shoot loads of them. We did shoot others, but that's because we worked out how to make ourselves go rogue. So we did it on purpose to try and kill a few people and see what the PvP was like. Right. And then we went back to not being rogue, met up with the same people that we'd been fighting with a couple of minutes before, and they were fine with us, and we all helped each other extract.
Mm.
Wow.
So it felt like a completely different experience to the first game, and it made me want to go back into the Dark Zone.
It could just be beta.
I was going to say, however, you played The Division, the first game, quite a long time after it had already been out, hadn't you?
Yes.
The idiots had all got nicely settled in.
The novelty grace period had kind of passed.
Yeah. Everybody being nice to each other.
Everyone had turned into a grade A weapons grade cunt.
Yeah, we'd gone straight past the happy phase of the introduction of something and headed straight for the 4chan phase. Right.
Well, there's a reference.
So look, those are those two games that we've been playing. We've been playing loads of other stuff, and I know there's loads of other stuff that we want to speak about, but we're going to cut this episode short, and we're going to come back hopefully really soon with another one. We can talk about other stuff, but we wanted to talk about Apex Legends. It's only just come out. We wanted to talk about Division 2 beta, which has only just happened. This is us being on the bleeding edge, and as is traditional with any bleeding edge podcast that we record, expect to never hear this, because something will go wrong. And it will not come out.
Or just expect to hear this once both the Division and Apex Legends have died. And no one cares about them anymore.
Once Division 3 is out,
totally irrelevant.
And nobody knows what Apex Legends was. Right, look, thank you very much for episode 86 of Ready Player 2. I have been Rich. Ross has been...
Here at Rossbow984 on Twitter.
Thank you. Lee has been...
painfully sober and at ZZLeeZZ on Twitter.
Lewis has been
At Louis_Kong.
Just that. I have been Zebwin at ZEBWN. You can find all of us at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find a pinned post on Twitter that shows you all of the different places that you can find us on the internet, but you should definitely go to our Twitch channel and subscribe or follow or whatever the hell they call it on there.
Do it.
Because we are streaming basically every single day now.
Multiple times a day.
I cannot think of a day in the last couple of weeks where we haven't streamed. There's tons of content coming out. So please come and chat to us, and we play with our followers as well. Not in like a weird way, unless you're paying for it. But we play with people. We've got puzzle games that we play in VR. We're playing and we're talking to people, and it's all good. It's all good. It's all fantastic interaction. Thank you for listening. We will be back as soon as we possibly can with another episode for episode 86 of Ready Player 2. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.
One. Oh, that sounded all in tune and everything.
Pretty good, that was.
Okay, now it's like we've done it before.
80 something times.
Much more than that.
Oh, yeah. A lot more than that. We're probably on nearly 100 episodes now.
You done?
Yeah. I thought we were in a hurry.
Waiting for you.
Just do it.
Shut up. Hello and welcome along to Ready Player 2 episode. What are we on? 86. I should have been way more prepared than that then. This is a bit of a running rate freight twat. Freight. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Freight twain?
A freight twain.
It's a freight twain.
It's a freight twain.
Oh, no.
All right, Chris Eubank, chill out. No, not for Chris Eubank. Who was it? Mike Tyson.
I don't know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.